Well, praise God. It's good to be back. It's been a rough and tumble first couple months of the year. And just to reiterate what I said before, when I mentioned that at the very first message, I wasn't envisioning this, but it's good to be here. It has been a difficult and long time. I want you all to know that I appreciate your prayers and your thoughts and your condolences and things like that. It's not easy dealing with these things, and then you never know what you're going to encounter. So, the passing of my mom is a big missing piece of my life. And I was telling somebody this morning, the thing that I wasn't anticipating was the loneliness. I didn't think about that. And it was last Sunday. I had stayed there left Sunday afternoon and got home, and I'm sitting there at home and just doing my thing. And as I'm sitting there, it was getting around 7 o'clock, 7:30-ish. That's normally about the time that I would call my mom, and it just kind of hit me. I wanted to call her, and I couldn't. And so it just kind of hit me, and that was just the way that as the things unfolded, it was one of those things. I wanted to share with you guys that I had the privilege of preaching at my mom's funeral. My siblings asked me if I would. They entrusted that to me, and I, of course, said, if you guys trust me to do that, all right, I'll do it. But I'm not looking forward to it in that sense. It's not, I would be honored to do that. And it was one of the things that I mentioned while I was speaking on her behalf. I just said, one of the things as a pastor is I never had the opportunity to preach before my mom and my dad. And that was, I was always a desire in my heart, and never got a chance to do that. And it wasn't for their approval. It was just to make sure that they approved of what it was that I was saying. So if they needed to rebuke me, they could have. So it was out of respect for them, and probably the whole highlight of the whole deal was when one of my cousins, who's a believer, came up to me afterwards and just said, "You brought it. You brought it." And I just want to thank you for that. And I was like, "Sweet, that's the best thing I've heard all day long." And she said, "Your mom would have been absolutely, and your dad would have been proud of you." And I said, "All right, I can live with that. That alleviates a lot of the things." One of the things that I wanted to share, today's message, I've titled it, Why We Persevere. Why We Persevere. And how we persevere through all these things, all these trials and tribulations, all these losses. I've just been drawn to Job. I got just a little tiny taste of what he went through, just one thing after another, just taking from his life things that just ought not be, and how you deal with those things. And I'm not sure what that crackling is. Well, I guess we'll just have to live with that. I thought about that, and it's like, wow, I can get a little tiny taste of what he must have went through. I mean, he turned in five different directions. He turned north and south and east and west, and then a whole other direction. Five things that just came out of him, but he didn't get the chance to have the blows softened. They were all just boom, 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 and boom. And what was it that sustained him? How did he persevere through that? And we see his example. He shaved his head and whatnot and was going to go worship the Lord. And, his response to his wife was, I think, is just perfect. When she... He's all sick and has all these boils or whatever they are, and full of pus and itchy. And if we've ever had, it's, akin to like chicken pox, I guess, or something like that. Who knows, smallpox. I don't know what it was. It was nasty, whatever it was. And, his wife, just curse God and die. All this misery, all this stuff that you're dealing with, his response was perfect. Even back then, he understood, and he said to her, "Shall we accept good from God, and shall we not accept?" And the words that are in the Bible are important. So shall we not accept the evil that he brings? In the same way, blessing him, thanking him. And because that's what Paul said, remember? He said, rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. In all things, rejoice. In your exulting, rejoice. And in your tribulations, rejoice. And these are the things that I'm reminded of as I went through the week. And yes, the week was a little bit tougher than I thought because I wasn't anticipating certain things. And few days just sitting there numb. You just don't know how to feel. You don't know what you're supposed to do. You don't know. It's just a strange experience, you know. And getting through all this gambit of death. And we've got another dear friend who is I don't know her extremely well, but I'm getting to know her a little bit more. And she's asked us to honor her with music and to be present at her funeral. She wants the worship team to be there to present music for her family and so on and so forth. And it's like a gambit of death that I've been going through. And you guys have been going through it with me. And one of the things that I wanted to share is, how do we get through these things and what keeps us going? And it's really actually pretty simple. And I want to keep today's message fairly short because I want to do communion a little bit different. We haven't done it in a long time. It's not that we've never done it. It's just we haven't done it in a long time. And we need time in order to do that, so we're not here till 3 o'clock doing that kind of stuff. But I wanted to share one way that as the weekend unfolded and it came time to almost, you know, that time, I had to go shower before the funeral. I had to meet the funeral director with my older brother before a couple of hours before the funeral was scheduled. And I was running a little bit late. I get out of shower, I'm getting all ready, and I hadn't shaved all week, and so I just thought I'll just do that right before the funeral. So not a big deal. I get out of the shower, go through my overnight bag, and behold, there's no razor. I brought the shaving cream, but I didn't bring the razor. I'm like, for a second, I started to panic, going, oh, geez, you got to be kidding me. And all my brothers are busy doing their thing, getting ready, and so I was like, well, I got to get over to the deal, so stop by, buy a disposal one, and just take care of it there. So all these things are just kind of, you know, it was kind of funny because I've never seen any of these things go smoothly. There's always something. And maybe it's just my experience. I don't know. But, you know, get passed through that. And I'm getting really, really nervous as it's getting closer and closer. People are starting to show up. And I'm just like, I'm headed outside to my truck for one last time after kind of sort of shaving and taking care of things and dressed, and I'm putting on a vest that I hadn't put on since my sister's passing and her funeral. And I just said, Lord, I don't know if I could do this. My mind is just racing. It's going all different directions. And I'm trusting that you'll give me something, but I don't know what. And I'm just starting to freak out here. And lo and behold, what I've left out is, When my sister passed away a few weeks earlier, 2 weeks to be exact, prior to my mother's passing, but to the exact day. And when we had her funeral and things, when I was headed back home from my sister's funeral, I had lost my earbuds. And they're wireless ones, and you know, they're not super expensive or anything, but they're pretty nice. And I couldn't find them anywhere in my truck. I'm looking through all my stuff, and I can't find them. And you guys are probably thinking, what has this got to do? What are you talking about? You're going nuts. Well, fast forward to what I was talking about, the day of my mother's funeral. I'm sitting there, and I'm kind of freaking out, headed into my truck to sit there just to kind of take a breather and try to regather myself. And as I'm putting my vest on, I feel something on my right side, and I reach into my pocket, and there's my earbuds. And I had prayed on the way home, Lord, please help me find those stupid earbuds. They're not a big deal, but I sure would like to have them back. They're really nice on Sunday mornings. That's what I listen to on the way over here because I can't listen to what I want to when I want to And this way I can listen to certain things as I'm driving over here. And it was just a reminder. And I'm sharing this with you for a reason. In that moment, I realized that God loves us. He loves me. And He assured me through that little moment of assurance, saying, I got this. You're going to be all right. I'm like, wow, I was not expecting that at that moment. And it was able to get me in a better frame of mind, in a right frame of mind, to remember His promises and why it is that we persevere. And I want to read from Romans chapter 5, because Paul writes about this. And as Christians, we are the scorn of the secular world as Christians. You know, if you've heard the saying, hell has no fury like a woman scorned. Well, I think that hell doth have fury more than that. And that's for a Marxist leftist or a totally secular or atheistic-minded person to be confronted with truth from a Christian. They get scorned, and we become the focus of their scorn. And it's just one of those things where we have to learn to deal with those things in graciousness and in hope. And it's the promises of God that carry us through those things. He didn't have to, and I mean, I don't know how else to put it. I mean, I find my earbuds there at that exact moment when I'm starting to freak out, and He calms my soul. It's the old saying that sometimes God will calm the storm, and other times God will calm His child. And in the storm, He decided to, you know, this is going to happen, and it's got to be done, and you got to continue on. Because as I said the last time I preached, that the gospel goes on, the church goes on, His kingdom goes on. He continually goes on, and we're to persevere in all those things in the midst of our suffering and our tribulations. And it's because of who He is. It's like the songs we were singing about it's the promises of God. This is how we persevere. This is how we find strength. This is how we can go on. And the only way that we can go on. Those who don't have Christ, those who are suffering apart from Christ, I don't know how they do it. I really don't. And it's just one of those things where God continually shows us in the little tiny things. I like what Dennis sometimes says in his moment of praise when he praises. He says, I want to praise God for working in the dull things in the every single moment of day-to-day life. And we often forget those things. And so in Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 15 primarily, I want to read through that. And Lord willing, we can keep this fairly short. And I know you're thinking, yeah, sure, whatever. No, we will. We will. So before we read this, let's just pray and thank God. Father, thank You. Thank You, Lord, that You are the one who heals, that You are the one who strengthens us. You are our strength, that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And that even in the midst of sorrow, grieving and mourning, even in the midst of loss, poverty, whatever it may be, in the midst of persecution, Your joy is our strength. And how You do that in us, I don't understand. I'm just so thankful that You do. That Your promises are yes and amen. And that You are continually working in the midst of Your people. And that you do exactly what You say. Thank You, Lord, that You woke me Friday evening and between Friday and Saturday as I slept and woke me with the knowledge and the understanding that Mom is in Your capable hands, that she is being more well taken care of than we could ever think or imagine. that she is experiencing more love, the love that she desired from those who were supposed to be the most caring for her and who abused and physically abused her and caused her to go through so much horrific things. All that stuff is gone. And that you reminded me that she's where she's always wanted to be, in your midst, and that you are true to her in ways that we can only imagine. And I love that fact. And I thank you for calming my mind and my heart. Father, I pray that you would just remind us as we go through your word of these things, that we can persevere, that we will persevere, that we do persevere. Not because of anything in us or any of our choices or will or anything like that, but simply because of who you are and because you live within those who are yours and you strengthen us in ways that we can't imagine. What a gracious God that you are. What a gracious King. We thank you, Lord. We praise you in Jesus' name. So in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, it says, therefore, he had already been talking about Abraham's righteousness and that it was a righteousness that was established by faith because of what it was that he believed about God. And one of the things that I talked about, and my son was, and a few of my cousins remarked on it, of when I've mentioned this before in the Bible studies and also in, you know, from here, from the pulpit, that, you know, the three levels of belief that people have in God, that the majority of people that believe in a God, they have that belief. There's a simple, basic understanding that there's a God. Now, granted, mostly that's a God of their own understanding, right? And then there's a second level of belief, which I see, is people believe in God. In other words, they assign to God that He is the God of the Bible. And that's a whole different level of belief. Because at least now they're saying, okay, the God of the Bible is the one that we believe in. And they still get it wrong because they don't spend any time with Him. And for the most part, many of them cannot. And then there's that third level of belief, the level that Abraham did, where it was imputed to him as righteousness. And that's really simple. It's, I believe you, God. So I'm just going to go forward and do what you say. And that is the level of belief that we are to have. And so Paul has been establishing that, and he moves on here in chapter 5, and he says, therefore, having been justified, being justified is being having a right standing with God in a legal sense, in a court of law, in God's legal court that He calls to order that every person will come to, we have legal standing. We're justified. Because we believe God, we take God at His word. And that means the harsh reality of what we are, looking at ourselves in the mirror and admitting, hey, we're lost sinners. Period. End of story. And apart from God, we get what we deserve. And what we deserve is not heaven. So we're justified by faith, just like Abraham. It's imputed to us as righteousness. Okay, God, I'm going to take you at your word. I'm a worm, worthy of your judgment, but you're a Savior, mightier than all my sin. And we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That's what's been sustaining me, is that peace that I have with God. The peace that I knew that my mother had with God. Same thing with my father before her and my sister before her and my other sister before her. They had the same understanding. They had peace with God, not because of anything in them, but because of who was inside of them. Okay? And so they knew that they had peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, and He is the key after all. There is no peace with God apart from Christ. You can't have it. It's not possible. Through whom also, now notice he's adding, not only do we have peace and justification, he says, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into His grace in which we stand and we exult in hope of the glory of God. Now, in verse 3, and not only this, but we exult also in our tribulations. Now notice the two pictures that are being here, the contrast. We exalt in the hope of the glory of God, but at the same time we exalt in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about what? Perseverance. Perseverance. That's what it brings about. You mean to tell me that tribulation will bring about? Well, yes, because those who are in Christ and honestly take Him at His word will persevere regardless of the tribulation, regardless of the pain, regardless of the agony, regardless of the circumstances, regardless of the chaos, regardless of any of those things. Those who are truly in Christ will persevere because of what has been written. And I love that Jesus established that in His temptation with the enemy, when He said over and over and over, three times to be exact, "It is written." This is where and how and why we persevere, because of what is written. If we believe God, if we take Him at His word. And we can persevere because He says we exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. And perseverance, proven character. And proven character, hope. And that hope does not disappoint. Why? Because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. This is what I experienced, what I was expressing when in that moment, that simple little, some people would say that was just a coincidence, that was just, you know, but those earbuds, it meant something to me. It was as if God was saying, "You're going to be okay. You're going to be okay. You're going to get through this because I have you." And this is what it was. It was that love of God. In that moment, I remember distinctly just exclaiming from my, as I'm crawling into my truck, "God, you really do love me. So much so that you would, at this very moment, distract my mind from where I was going to refocus it on your love." And what kind of a God does that? In all this, in all these things, it's just this. It was the love of God that I encountered, that was poured out within even my heart and through the Holy Spirit. And it had to be through the Holy Spirit, because otherwise I wouldn't have never made this connection. I had prayed specifically, "Lord, please help me find these things, wherever they're at." And I even said, you know, if I don't find them again, it was $35. And that was a good deal. It was a great deal, because they were $75 or something like that. And to many people, they would be thinking, this is silly. But to me, it meant a lot at that moment. And I think that's how God works in times when we don't expect it, in these ways that are just huge in our lives, in these moments. And I'll never forget it, that He expressed His love and reminded me of His love at that moment when I needed it most. And He says that the hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. And I love that word "was" in this case. Because Paul, even at this time, he's making it definitive. It's not something that might happen or that could happen. It's something that had already happened if you are a follower of Christ, if you were a believer, who was given to us. Past tense. It's been done. It's a real thing. Question is, do we believe it? And then he says, "For while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly." Who amongst us has been ungodly? I think we can all raise our hands in agreement with that. Yep, definitely been that. Sometimes, even now, we're ungodly, aren't we? To our shame, but to God's glory, He still loves us, and I don't know why. And he says, "At the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man, someone would dare even to die. But God," those words, love those words, "but God." He's not like anyone else. He's not like anyone we know. He says, but God demonstrates His love, His own love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know how important that is? It is so important to understand, to grasp that, because of the fact that there are so many people that I know, so many people that attended my mom's funeral that I grew up with, that couldn't believe that I was a pastor. No surprise. I remember one of them even made the, hey, weren't you the one that was always starting the trouble? Like, well, yeah, that was kind of me sometimes, yeah. Like, wow, this, I can't believe that. That was amazing. I can't believe what God's doing. I'm like, yes, it's a miracle. It is. It truly is. And we get to glorify God in those things. And when he says God demonstrates His love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, He doesn't wait for us to get cleaned up. A lot of people that were there at my mom's funeral, we grew up with them, and some of them were family friends, and a lot of them were partiers just like I was, and some of them still are. And a lot of them are still trying. A lot of them are still trying to make themselves better so that they can, quote-unquote, go to church. A lot of them, and the message that I preached was real simple. It was, if you're waiting for that, you're never going to make it. Because you're weighing yourself and hoping that your good outweighs your bad. And I said, here's all your, quote-unquote, good and bad. And here's the goodness that you're being measured against. That's the goodness of Christ. And I said, what you need, and the only way that you can be saved, is you have to have His righteousness put into you. And then, that's how you'll be weighed. All His goodness will be attributed to you, and that's the only way. You can't do it, and you never will be able to. Because your goodness has to, if you want to go that route, fine, God will say. But your measurement or your weight of your good has to equal that of Christ. And I told him, if your goodness doesn't measure up to that, then don't walk to Christ, run to Him. Trust in Him. Believe in Him. Receive Him today. And know that your sins are forgiven. All of them, past, present, and future. And it was just amazing to be able to speak this to friends and family who had grown up in church, a lot of them, and some of them, like I said, have that mindset. Well, one of these days, I've got to stop doing this. It's like, no. This is what he says. God demonstrates His love towards us, in that while we're yet sinners. He doesn't wait for us. Praise God. Because if He did, none of us would be saved. Ever. Right? We'd all be lost. We'd all be on the road, on the big highway, headed to hell. Every single one of us. And there is no one that is excluded from that. It says here, Paul teaches here, that God doesn't wait on us. He demonstrates His love. And I love that. I love that God is, He is a gentleman, but He's a gentleman that will stand in and step in and say, you're mine. I've shared this before. My older brother, when he was at his worst, his marriage was falling apart, he was just going through it all, and right before he was saved, he went to the bar and he literally was thinking, I'm just going to get so drunk if it kills me. I don't care. I'm just going to get obliterated. That was his mindset. And as I've shared before, maybe many of you haven't heard this. My older brother is sitting there at the bar with his friends, and they have pitchers of beer and shots of tequila coming, one after the other. And he's sitting there pounding them down. Boilermakers love it. They're just. And he's sitting there and he's drinking and he's drinking and he's drinking. And at one point, he says around midnight, he realized, he's like, hey, I don't feel like I'm getting drunk. This is just kind of weird. And at that point, He's like, bring some more. And then at that point, he says, it's like I heard a voice. He says, it's weird, and I don't like telling people, but it's like I heard a voice that said, you will not get drunk. You will not. Well, yeah, watch me. He kept trying and trying and trying, and he's like, I just can't seem to get drunk. And then he realized one thing. He says, you know, that voice that I heard, I believe that was God. And God, if you're powerful enough to, and I mean, there's a table. I wish he would have taken a picture and we would have had cell phones back, you know, back then. And he would have had one that he could have taken a picture of. But there's this table just full of pitchers and shot glasses, and he can't get drunk. And God says, no, you are mine. You will turn your life over. And he did. He went to mom and dad's and he said, Mom, Dad, I can't get drunk. So I need Jesus. I'm serious. That's what happened. And they prayed with him there and he received Christ. And he says, if God is powerful enough to keep me from doing what I want to do, then who am I to try to resist that? Because he can do obviously as he pleases. And so he does. And this is what God does. He demonstrates His love. And my story was a little bit different, but real similar. And He also says here in verse 9, He says, much more then, having now been justified by His blood, so far the justification has nothing to do with us. It has to do with faith. Yes, we believe God. But if you see, it's all God that is in the picture here. He is the focus. He is the center of everything. And I think this is what Paul is, without a doubt, teaching. He says, more than having been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through Him. That's one of the wonders that I see in salvation, is we no longer have to have fear of that wrath. Just out last night, I was talking with my son late at night, and he said, Dad, you know, all this stuff that's unfolding in our country, it's just so weird. I can't put my finger on it. There's like something going on. I said, yeah, there is. I said, and he goes, and I have to wonder, you know, and he said, I kind of been praying that, you know, God would remember His people if He's doing that to accelerate the sinfulness of, so that He can judge, that He would remember us. My son, He will. So just remember the story of Abraham and Lot and what happened there at Sodom and Gomorrah. So He'll remember. So remember what it says in Revelation, when those giant hailstones come, they don't hit any of the redeemed. They don't hit any of those who are left. They hit only the wicked, which I want to touch on in a minute. Okay, and he says it's through Him. We can be free from this. We're saved from the wrath through Him, through Christ. For while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only this, but we also exult in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Amen? Therefore, just as through one man's sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. Death, Paul rightly says, where is your sting? Oh, death, where is your sting? And he speaks and says that we, when we lose people, we don't mourn as those who have no hope. We mourn in a completely different way. We mourn knowing the loss and experiencing the loss, but we mourn knowing that they're in God's capable, glorious hands. And this is why we persevere, because of what He says, and the gift that He gives us is His salvation, redemption, the removal of sin, the removal of the fear of the wrath of God. Is God still wrathful? Absolutely. Will He still pour out His wrath? Oh, absolutely. But not on His people, because we've been forgiven. He's the one that strengthens us from within. I want to turn to Psalm 145 before we finish up here. And even in the Old Testament, it was the same understanding that the psalmists had, and they understood these things, that God was, so many times the psalmist says, remember me in your mercy. Remember me in your forgiveness. Remember me in those things that he had come to know, as this merciful, loving kindness that was the Lord's. In Psalm 145, it reads this, the Lord is gracious, in verse 8. He says, the Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and great in loving kindness. The Lord is good to all, and His mercies are over all His works. All thy works shall give thanks to thee, O Lord, and thy godly ones shall bless thee. Amen. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power, and make known to the sons of men thy mighty acts and the glory of the majesty of thy kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, thy dominion throughout all generations. The Lord sustains all who fall and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to thee, and thou dost give them their food in due time. Thou dost open thy hand, and thou dost satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways, and kind in all his deeds. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. This is why we persevere. He says he will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. He will also hear their cry and will save them. The Lord keeps all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and all flesh will bless his holy name forever and ever. This is why we persevere, because of his character, because of who he is, because of what he has done, because of what he has allowed us to experience, because he demonstrated his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, he died for us. And he's forgiven and removed our sin, and he's removed that fear of his wrath. We fear him on a whole different level because of his holiness. This is why we can trust in him. This is our hope. Even the Lord Jesus Christ himself, he alone is our hope. Communion. What I want to do with communion as we turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And of course, Paul, the ordinance of the communion is a reminder. It's for us to remember him, to be reminded of his goodness. It's not just a thing of sorrow, because it is on the night that he was betrayed is when this took place. And we knew what was coming. But it's also a celebration. It's a remembrance of past. And it's a remembrance today of the present, and it's a remembrance of the future, that we have a future. And he is our future. He's our future and our hope. And Paul says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, he says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' And in the same way, the cup also he took after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink in remembrance of me.'" Again, he's the focus. And one of the things that was the tradition there is they would pass the food one to another. And I want to do that this morning as we take communion. I want to, for each person as we pass the bread and the wine or the juice, I want you to hand it to your neighbor and just, this is his body given for you. Take. And we'll take it as one body, but I want each person to serve his neighbor, to serve his brother. Because this is what we are to do, serve one another, even in this, in remembering him. And when everybody has the bread, then we'll take as one. So with that, let me pray first, and then we'll go into this, and we'll do this. And while we do the music, you guys do that work. And then once we're done with that, we'll all take and eat. It's something different. I'm not afraid of the different. And so you guys have gone on this ride with me for this long. Just keep on the ride. Let's pray. Oh, Lord, how we thank you, we praise you, we bless you. What a good God that you are, that you demonstrated while we were yet sinners, while we were helpless, while we were deserving of your wrath, while we should have feared your wrath, you removed it far from us. And you made us to know that your sacrifice is enough, that your death was enough, that your resurrection was more than enough, and it demonstrated your deity, Lord. Oh, Father, how we thank you for your goodness and grace. How we thank you that we can celebrate this and that we can share it with one another. How we thank you that we can remember you time after time after time and that you've given us this communion as a body for your namesake, for your glory's sake, for your kingdom's sake. We thank you, Lord, for that great love that you demonstrate and that you pour out. And as the psalmist said, every one of your works will praise your holy name. And so, Lord, we want to praise you. We want to remember you. We desire to see you in your glory, in your majesty, in your rightful place. And oh, how we long to be with you in your presence, to have all this pain of this world forgotten, removed, in the very hands of our Savior and God, wiping away the tears, no more ever to return. What a glorious God that you are. What great promises that you give and how you sustain your people. Even in the midst of tribulation, we exalt in you, in your joy, in your strength, in your mercy, and your grace. We praise you, Lord. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.